community. The word that extroverts love and introverts shudder at, yet we don't always know how to do Christian community well. We all have a range of responses to this back to basics concept, and this really is a discipline. So wherever you are with community, I think that this episode will be able to encourage you and lead you in the right direction. We talk about why so many of us struggle with it, why it is crucial to our walk as believers, and of course, we get practical. Here we go. Welcome to the Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life. Surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. My guest today is another friend of mine through the interwebs. We're both members of a podcasting community called Podcast Her. And the crazy thing about that community is that I've never met any of them in person. Yet they have been some of the biggest encouragers through this tumultuous life of being a creative. They understand my frustrations, my hopes and dreams for my projects, and most of us share a faith background, which is really encouraging, and so we can point one another to the truth of God. And it's just crazy to me that a group of strangers on the internet can actually become real friends and comrades with the common goal of wanting to glorify God. And while we can certainly find this camaraderie online, we all know that it is just so important that we find this in real life as well. Real life people who are going to continually point you to the truth of who God is, to pray for you, and to really know you, which, by the way, I think is one of the greatest gifts that we can give other people, is allowing them to know us, flaws and all. This episode with my guest, Johanna Smith, host of Girls Talking Life, will definitely point you in the right direction if you feel stuck anywhere on the spectrum. But before we head into the episode, are you a put up the tree in November kind of family? We most definitely are. So in fact, the last few years, I have tried to be very intentional about creating space in December by preparing for Advent in November as best as I can. This year, I have created something just for you to use to help you experience less holiday stress and to make room for more of Christ during the Advent and Christmas season. You can grab a copy of the free Advent Planning Workbook through the link in our show notes. All right, let's head into our conversation with Johanna. Well, welcome, Johanna, to Faith School. I'm really excited that you're here to talk to us about community. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. And so I just love that we get to talk about this together here today. So as we begin, I just love if you could share what some of your roles are right now and where are you recording from?
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to get to talk with you and share here. And I am a wife and a mother and a daughter, and I am an employee. I do work part-time for a university in Ohio, which is where I'm recording from, here in Central Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a podcast host like yourself. I host a show called Girls Talking Life, and it is where I bring on a guest. We chat about what's going on in her life, a big topic maybe. Yeah. Then we end with some fun favorites. And it is supposed to feel like you're out with your girlfriends. So this is supplemental girl time. And I encourage the women who listen to be in community, be in relationships with people in their actual lives, mm-hmm. have those friendships. But when you can't do that, listen in here, because we grow when we're together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important that you do that. It's not in exchange for community. It's to enhance community, yes. Which I love. I love that. So I would love to know just kind of where some of your love of community came from and what your journey with community has really looked like, your relationship with it.
Well, I think I first started even thinking about it when I had an absence of community. Mm. Mm-hmm. We grow up and we're in school and we're just with people. We maybe go to college and we have roommates, and there's just people there. They are built into our lives.
Yeah.
Based on the way we do things for the most part. Mm-hmm. And then once you grow up, for lack of a better term, enter the adult world, mm-hmm. then that just isn't there anymore unless you intentionally make room for it.
Yeah.
And I remember early on in my marriage, I felt lonely for probably the first time, a little bit out of college, living, you know, in a different city than a lot of my friends. Mm-hmm. And my husband was not doing anything wrong. He was being a great husband, but he couldn't fill that need for a girlfriend that I was missing.
Yeah.
And I realized it, but maybe not to the point of saying, oh, I don't have any community. Mm-hmm. And a few years later, we moved to the city that we're in now. And we did so in part to attend this church that my friends had started. And it was a small church and we knew a couple people and the rest of the people welcomed us in. Mm. And we experienced biblical community for the first time probably ever.
Oh, wow.
And it was such a sweet time. Mm-hmm. Our church was a little bigger than a small group. So it just felt so warm and so loving. And we did get together for Sundays. And then we did get together outside of that. We were a part of that church for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then it ended.
Oh, dear.
So then again, I kind of went through that absence of community again and figuring out how to rebuild what I knew was possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about what my journey has looked like. Mm-hmm. And I've been asking questions to my family also. My mom is not a host. That's not something that comes naturally to her.
Yeah.
But my grandma was. My grandma had people in her house all the time. Of her friends, she probably had the smallest house. I think it might have been the messiest house, you know, but she invited people in and she was constantly in community. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe I get some of that from her too.
Mm, I love that. It's true though, what you were saying about once you have experienced that biblical community, first off, it's just hard to exit that.
Yes.
It actually can be really painful, but it's also, yeah, it kind of gives you hope that it's possible. I can find this again somewhere and I can be a part of the process, which is just, yeah, that's just so beautiful. And we're going to go into the kind of the meat of the conversation and going into our, kind of our back to basics series, I really wanted to really start from kind of the ground up and talk about, you know, why even bother with community? And more so, why do you think community is so important to the Lord? Why is it so important to God?
Well, going way back, God himself is in relationship. Mm-hmm. We have a God who is three in one, and he is in perfect relationship with the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. So we are created in his image, and that is something that we long for. Mm-hmm. When God was going through the 7 days of creation, he created Adam. And when he saw that he was alone, he said, that's not good. Mm-hmm. He recognized we need people in our lives. We need that community.
Yeah.
And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Mm. And I heard a pastor unpack this and say, you know, what is the work of the Lord? Well, we're supposed to love God and love others. Mm-hmm. So that work is relational labor.
Yeah.
It's the work of friendship. Mm-hmm. So we have an example of our Creator being in relationship. And we have him specifically saying in Genesis 2, it is not good for man to be alone. And then Paul gives us a directive to do this work.
Yeah.
So I think back to basics, you know, that is why it's important to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So good. And so true. We often say that, you know, that we're doing life together in Christian community. It's kind of like a really Christian-y phrase that we use,
right?
And if we know it's really important, I mean, that is my prayer, that we would really feel like we are doing life together. But what do you think that should really look like? And you kind of already talked about a little bit about your experience with that, but could you go into that a little bit more? What do you think it should look like? And what is your experience doing sure. life with other people look like?
So Acts 2, the early church gives us a really good picture of what this should look like. Mm-hmm. It says that they met together every day. They broke bread together in their homes. And I love that picture that it paints. I don't know that in our current reality that is something that we can do every single day. But I think that gives us a great model for what we should try to do.
Yeah.
I heard someone describe hospitality as not necessarily a gift, as some people call it, a spiritual gift, but they said it was a discipline. It's something that you need to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't think you're good at it, or even if you don't maybe feel like it at the moment, it's something that we're called to.
Yeah.
And being in community is a way that we grow. Like I said, I was in a group, my small group met last night. And when you're sharing ideas about the Bible, about a message that you heard, you know, other people take things from it that you didn't. And when they share that, then that expands your understanding of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are all made in God's image. And if you know, I'm different than you are, yeah. yet we're still made in God's image. So if we don't have that community, and if we don't have other people speaking into our lives, we might not be getting a full picture of God.
Yeah. I think that's so true. I know from even my own small group right now, we are all very, very different. And we bring a lot of different ideas, even like some theological differences, personality-wise, we're all pretty different. But there's something that over time I've come to really appreciate about that, because I've learned so much from them. And my heart has been softened actually to people who are quite a bit different than I am.
Yeah.
And even this morning, I met for prayer with some of my small group members, and it was just such a beautiful, just a beautiful way to do life is to do battle, like battle together, to fight for the kingdom of God together, fight for people that we love together, to serve together, to share a meal together. Man, like there's just so much beauty in that togetherness, and on a deep level, like it's a whole more of a holistic kind of level that maybe you can have with friends who are outside of the faith.
It's soul filling.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And at the same time, there's been a lot of people that have found it to be really hard to be in community. And I would just love if you would speak to those people and just kind of address why has it been so hard, and kind of what encouragement would you give to someone who is trying to be in community, but it's just been really difficult.
So one of the reasons I think it's been hard right now is we are socially out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
We were asked to not be together for a period of time. And you know, we're habitual people, and you fall into the patterns that you fall into, and you're staying home and you're not going out. And I know for me, Leah, I am a homebody.
Yeah.
I am an introvert. So, you know, given the choice, a lot of times I would want to stay home. Mm-hmm. Having practiced staying home, I'm even more likely to do that.
Yeah.
But you have to exercise those muscles. You have to get back to it, because as we just talked about, we are called to be in community. So when you're invited somewhere, say yes.
Yeah.
Even if you don't feel like it at the moment,
once
you go, once you experience, you know, what God has for you there, you will leave feeling filled up, and you'll be so glad that you did.
Oh, every time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other reason that things might seem difficult when getting together with other people are just the array of really divisive topics in our culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, I would say it's okay to talk with someone who has different opinions than you. It's actually good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say seek to understand their point of view.
Yeah.
You can ask questions and try to understand how they came to this conclusion, like what life experiences brought them to this.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that you have to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you're going to have a clearer picture of this person and why they ended up at that conclusion. And if you try that and it doesn't work, then you can agree that that's not a topic for you to discuss with this person.
Mm-hmm.
If you just know it's not going to go well, you can go back and say, well, what is our common ground? What do we agree on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why are we friends in the first place? Yeah. Let's stick with those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like, I think you would agree with me too, that I feel like in those times, that's where you really have to lean on the Holy Spirit to ask him to like pull down any defenses that are within ourselves.
Definitely.
And to understand the heart of the other person, like you said. And also just how can we speak in wisdom so that our eyes are fixed on Jesus more than they're fixed on taking a side? You know what I mean? Like I just feel like we've missed so much of that because we haven't included the Holy Spirit in our conversations and the way that we're carrying out some of our concerns, even which are legitimate concerns either way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my prayer for the people right now for believers is to rely heavily on the Holy Spirit in those conversations, because it can be good to go places, but at the same time, like to go places in those topics, but at the same time, you're right. Like putting up some boundaries sometimes is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And approach the person with gentleness and respect, just the way that you would want them to approach you.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up the Spirit, and yes, consider that, you know, the Spirit might be leading you one way and that same Holy Spirit is leading them a different way for a different reason.
Totally.
There might be work that you can do in that area because of your conviction.
That's right. Spot on. That's exactly how I feel. I'm so glad that you said that. As we're going into Christian community, I feel like there are probably some best practices. One thing that I notice sometimes, even in myself, is that I actually try to contribute to community more than I try to receive from community. And I know from some other people, it's the other way around. And so I would love if we would just talk about, what do you think are some best practices to really participate in Christian community in particular really well?
Well, I think that you want to be willing to genuinely share your heart when you're in that kind of safe community. And then you want to be a safe person where other people can share their heart with you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when we're in a group like that, confidentiality is a big deal because people are sharing deeper parts of themselves.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to respect that. And we had a conversation. I said I met with my small group last night. We had a conversation about the general exchange of, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Good.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're passing someone at the grocery store, maybe that is what you have time for. But then in these smaller groups, when you are getting together for the purpose of building each other up, then you say, really? Are you?
Right. Yeah.
You know, be willing to dig in and ask some more questions to get at the heart of maybe the situation that you know is going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if the other person, if people in the group aren't ready to do that and you can, then go ahead and share your fear or insecurity first.
Mm.
Just get it out there, kind of lighten the mood and make other people realize that, okay, this is a safe person. This is a safe space.
Yeah.
Now I can contribute to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that I always feel more encouraged, more inspired, and I learn something when I'm around other people. Mm-hmm. And so I also want to try and contribute those things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we change and we grow for the better in biblical community when we contribute that way.
Yeah. I want to go back to what you were saying about there being a safe person that, you know, knowing that there's a safe person to share some of our concerns, our anxieties, our fears. What do you think makes someone safe to open up to, or like, how can we be a safe person for someone to really share what's going on in their life? I also think there's best practices for that. I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Letting someone know that you're a safe person, I think showing some genuine curiosity into their lives, like not nosiness, but, you know, just a genuine curiosity for who they are and what they're going through.
Yeah.
And Another thing I think that you want to make sure that you try to practice is to not be shocked by sin.
Yes. Yeah.
We all do it. It's the way it is. And it's easy for us to be like, oh, well, that's what they're going through. You know, I'm not dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that you could be tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
The truth is that we're all just a few, you know, mistakes away from blowing our life up. Mm-hmm. We hope that that doesn't happen. We don't want that to happen. But really, really holding our judgment back from people who are trying to share their hearts.
Yeah.
Show them Jesus more than our flesh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so important. That's so, so important. It's actually a little bit of a skill. But I think, yeah, like asking Holy Spirit to give you the gentleness when someone is sharing is so important. Because yeah, I know that I've been in a few situations like that where, you know, God, how do you want me to respond? It, obviously being, you know, blown away and kind of overreacting is not the way to do it. But yeah, it's a skill that you have to ask for, I think, sometimes mm-hmm. to kind of contain what you're really, how you're really feeling about it and what you think would be the right thing or the wrong thing or anything like that, just to be a safe person. I'm really glad that you said that. Yeah, sin shock, that's definitely a real thing. And it can make things a lot worse and a lot more painful for the person that is sharing.
Right. And if you show that compassion and that empathy, then that might give you an opportunity down the road mm-hmm. to speak in even more to yeah. that situation for that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm wondering about the person who, you know I've seen it even in my own circumstances where we really want to be a part of a loving, genuine community, but it can feel really hard to enter in. And you can even feel really left out. You can even feel like, man, I just don't know if I have a place here, you know, within my home church or even my small group. Like, I just feel kind of, it doesn't feel right. Like, what would you say to that person who just really does feel left out of a genuine, loving community? What encouragement would you offer them?
First, I would say you are not alone. Yeah. You are not the only person feeling this way. I am not good with numbers, but I heard some statistics about loneliness in the last year, and mm-hmm. the numbers are really high.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not alone. So don't feel like you're the only one. Everyone else is meeting together and loving each other, and you're not. And then you want to keep looking. You mentioned your church home, mm-hmm. groups at your church. Most churches have groups formed. And if you haven't found the one that feels right to you, keep looking. And it's not an easy process, I know, mm-hmm. but stick with it. Like, if you're in a group, stick with it for a little while and just let it grow on you. Ask God for guidance.
Yeah.
You know, is this the place I'm supposed to be?
Yeah.
Or do you have something better for me somewhere else?
Yeah.
If you aren't finding community in the places that are already set up, you know, like the groups at church or in your home church, then I would suggest that you pay attention to the other places that you go mm-hmm. and see if there's someone that you'd like to get to know better.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Strike up a conversation with that person. You be the initiator and you be the inviter, and maybe you create your own group.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that sometimes we have an idea, like we have this picture of what a small group community looks like or a Christian community looks like. And it's kind of like this idealized version of what it could be or what we think it should be, when often there are so many other ways that we can be in community. I mean, we have the blessing of technology now, which I know is not the same as being in person, but it doesn't necessarily have to be small group every week. You know, it can be something that could feel a lot more casual.
I definitely know what you're trying to say. And yeah. It doesn't always have to be this preset group.
Yeah.
I went to coffee with my new neighbor the other day. That's community.
That's right. That's right.
You can get it from lots of different sources. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You and I are in a podcasting group together.
Yeah.
And it is online, but it is really, really filling. I feel like we have grown a ton in that group. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something like a mastermind group, and I wanted to do it in person. So I actually invited five other women to join me who I knew were following Jesus and who had a business or ministry, and they actually did not know each other.
Oh, wow.
I thought about it for a long time. I wrote the email. I didn't send it because I was afraid of rejection. I didn't know what other people would think of my idea, but I did invite them. They all said yes.
Yeah.
We've been meeting together for over a year now, and it's been fantastic. I feel like God completely blessed that group. And that isn't, you know, that isn't something from my church. It isn't something that was set up already. That was just something that I did.
Yeah. And you know, the crazy thing about community is that, I mean, we all feel that, right? That fear of rejection. Like, what if I don't fit in here? What if they don't like me, or they don't like my ideas, or they're going to say no? So being a part of community, I think that raises a good point. Being part of community actually does take some courage to put yourself out there and to participate in some way. I would hate for any of my listeners and you guys that you would feel that you'd be so afraid of rejection that you wouldn't want to try community, because it is just, and you can speak into this too, Hannah, but I just know for me, facing that fear over and over again, and it's vulnerable. And when it does happen, it hurts.
Yes.
But it is, when you find it, it's just so worth investing in and to continue to pour into. Like, what would you say to that person who just, like, they're just really afraid of rejection? They're afraid of being kind of pushed out, and maybe they've experienced it in the past.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely valid. I feel that way too. I didn't hit send on that email to those five women for a long time because I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But we do have to step outside of our comfort zones. We do have to be the initiators.
Yeah.
And God is with us the whole time. Like, invite him into that process. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as, you know, I want to invite my neighbor to coffee. I need your help with this, Lord. Can you bless this? Can you guide me?
Yeah.
And just like you said, practice.
Yeah.
That is really gonna, just like anything, it's gonna make us more familiar with the process. Mm-hmm. It's gonna make us more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And if you are thinking about having a gathering or hosting a group of some sort, ask someone to be your co-host. That just takes a little of the pressure off, and you can share in that with someone else.
Yeah. That's right. And that's so practical. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And that goes into our next part. I really want to talk to you about hosting, because I know that you have a real heart for it. That's something that that you really enjoy. I also really enjoy hosting. Unfortunately, we're still not able to at this time, which is so annoying. But but I would love to hear more about how you do it. So first off, just how do we get over our nerves, which we kind of just talked about a little bit? How do we get over our nerves to initiate community and gathering? And what is one of those first steps that you would take?
Well, I would say keep it simple. No one expects your home to be spit spot. And they might even be less comfortable if it is. And this is something I'm working on. Just let people into your mess. We talked about, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone and initiating those conversations and being the inviter. And one of my top things that I do when I'm getting ready to host something is I give it a purpose. Define the purpose for your gathering, and then all your other decisions really fall under that purpose.
Yeah.
So I had a gathering for a group of friends. I told you about the church I was part of.
Yeah.
That had this sweet community. Well, we hadn't been together for a couple years, but we still kept in touch with the family. So I invited those girls over for a dinner one night at my house. And the purpose was that we get together to catch up and to really celebrate each other's giftings.
Yeah.
So when you have a purpose, then everything else that you do to plan for that gathering just falls under that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Giving it kind of more of like a goal or an intention.
Right. When it's your why.
Yeah. 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 So important. And actually I found, and even just on a really practical level, it helps me kind of know how to set things up.
Right.
You know, like kind of what arrangement my furniture needs to be in, or you know, plates and cutlery I'm going to be using, like all the really practical things. When you know the purpose, it kind of helps you to make decisions and in a way that really serves that group of people.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the next one is, yeah, what is, when you're hosting, do you kind of, on a general sense, do you have like a top priority or a top kind of goal when you're hosting a gathering?
Well, a lot of times my goal is that purpose. It's the why of the gathering. And that's going to be different depending on what I'm doing. But I always want my guests to feel seen and to feel loved.
Yeah.
That's number one when you're going to be spending time with people.
Yeah, absolutely. On a really practical level, maybe we'll go into it in the next question, but what have you found that has worked really well when you're hosting to make people feel really loved? Sometimes I know for myself, when I'm hosting, I can kind of, I'm just keeping myself busy, like trying to, you know, get the next thing going and that sort of thing. And so I actually feel like I miss out a little bit on community when I'm hosting, in that I'm kind of taken out a bit more. But how do you do that? How do you try to really let them know that they're in a safe place and that you really, really love them when they're over?
Well, one way not to miss out on what's going on is just do as much as you can ahead of time so that you're not in the kitchen with food or doing something else, so that you can really be present with your guests. And this kind of goes back to even the fear of hosting. You want to try and take the focus off yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about the people that are coming into your home. You know, how can I make them feel loved? What questions can I ask them to let them know that I see what they're doing, what's going on in their life?
Mm-hmm. This is where I think the next question comes in then, is what are kind of your top yeses when it comes to gathering? What is some must do's that you like to do?
Something I like to do is, if it makes sense with your purpose, is have a special element of some sort.
Mm.
For the gathering that I mentioned, where my girlfriends from our former church got together, we were celebrating our giftings, and I had them come with a word or a phrase or a verse for everyone, because we knew each other really well.
Yeah.
That you felt described that person.
Mm.
Oh, so that was just something that was so meaningful, and it was just a really small little thing to do. A friend of mine, when we got together, she picked out our coffee mugs. She had a variety of coffee mugs, and it was so sweet. She matched them to like our personalities, and you just felt cared for because she had done a little something extra ahead of time, and you knew she was thinking about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even sending a little note ahead of time, like, I'm so glad you're coming. Can't wait to spend some time with you. And remember that it doesn't have to be fancy, even though that, you know, we're setting a purpose and doing something extra special. It can become as you are, depending on the event. I had some women that I invited over the summer to do a book club, and it was on my patio. So I didn't have to worry about if dinner was cleaned up.
Yeah.
It was come as you are. If you are dressed with makeup on, great. If you are no makeup and in your sweatpants still, great. Like, we're just going to be on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
Some nights I had snacks, some nights some other people brought snacks, some nights we just had glasses of water. Like, it was about the meeting, you know, it was about being together.
Right, right.
The last yes, I would say, is you are the host, so you want to guide your guests well.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times when I've been part of something that no one's guiding, and it kind of just falls apart, or no one's quite sure what to do. Or maybe in a meeting, someone else might take over because you weren't leading it.
Right. Right.
And then it goes down a different path.
Yeah.
So in the kindest way, you know, in the most gentle way, you want to lead your guests so that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Whether they know, you know, your purpose or not, whether they realize that you're leading them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important, that whole leading them through it, because people are always looking for somebody to kind of make things move.
Yes. And, you know, they've decided to spend their valuable time doing whatever it is that you've asked them to do.
Yeah.
So that's also just respectful of them to use that time well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the no's of gathering. What are some things that you're like, look, we do not do that when we're gathering?
Okay. So I don't know if it's a no, but you want to consider group dynamics. Mm. So I keep bringing up this dinner party that I had for these girls that we knew each other really well. Mm-hmm. And if I would have invited, you know, my new neighbor into that group, it would have been a little strange. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are such things in social psychology, they call it in-group and out-group. Mm. And, you know, maybe all mothers of preschoolers, you're in an in-group. You have that in common and you can probably talk for hours about it.
Yeah.
If you all go to the same university or went to the same university, you have that in common. You're an in-group. Mm-hmm. But hey, this person went somewhere else. They don't have that camaraderie. And Priya Parker, in her book, The Art of Gathering, calls it the kindness of exclusion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are some times, like in my group with these women that I knew really well, that would have been actually inconsiderate to invite someone who didn't know the group, who I had just met when we were getting together for the purpose that we were getting together for. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, my mastermind group that I talked about, we did not know each other that well. I knew the women decently well. They did not know each other at all. Mm-hmm. But because we are coming together with those two things in mind, being followers of Jesus and also having a business or a ministry,
yeah,
we clicked immediately.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you are purposely bringing together a diverse group, which I definitely also recommend doing, you said your small group is like this.
Yeah.
Then that's a different story. And there, I'm guessing that you have the common thread of being followers of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just something to keep in mind. Consider those group dynamics because they do really change the way a gathering can feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's wise. Even, you know, I find sometimes some of the hardest gatherings to go to are like bridal showers or baby showers, because it's a lot of people that the one person knows, and sometimes not everybody knows each
yes,
other.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're all just like staring at the bride or like staring at the new mom or whatever. And it can be kind of awkward. And then you're kind of being forced to play these games that with people that you don't really know. Do you have any tricks up your sleeve for maybe some gatherings like that, where like it's kind of one time and there's going to be people there that not everybody knows each other? Do you have a way to, I don't even know, like break the ice even?
Yeah, I do. I have conversation cards actually that I have available for sale. And these cards originated from the very thing that you're talking about. I created them when I was bringing a group of women together who didn't know each other very well.
Yeah.
And I looked to see what was out there. I was just going to, you know, download something, buy something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the questions were just a little wonky, you know, they were either too deep or they just weren't right for me. So mm-hmm. I made my own. I printed them and I glued them on cardstock and tried to make them pretty for my group. And it worked so well.
Oh, awesome.
The women, you know, it just engaged us in conversation. And the women that I already knew well, I learned things about them that I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you kind of get past the small talk mm-hmm. and you start in on just other topics, you can really get to learn about a person better.
Yeah.
In the situation of the bridal shower, it's just going to make it more easier. Mm-hmm. You're going to mm-hmm. ease into some conversations with those women. And then if you're in more of a small group setting, then I think that's also going to allow you to be more open to share your heart.
Yeah.
Once you've talked about, you know, your first job or,
right.
or
right.
something just a little sillier.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's so funny because even my small group, we started doing community nights where we would just get together just to hang out. You know, it was kind of once a month, I think, that we would try to have dinner together and just hang, play games and stuff like that. But I remember one of the first times we had like a real breakthrough was when we had some conversation. They weren't cards. They were like these little popsicle sticks that had, they're pretty silly questions, but it kind of, you know, it did give us something to talk about, to open up with. And actually we would be on this one silly question. We would be stuck on it for 5-10 minutes sometimes. And it was a lot of fun. And it did help us to get to know the people in our group in a really intentional way. So Yeah, I'm glad that you said that. And for people that are interested, they should definitely go to your shop and we'll make sure that we link all of that, because I think that would be very, very, very helpful. I would like to just talk to my listeners about just any last encouragement that you would have for someone who really wants to dive into a life of really rich community. Again, there's so many reasons why we might struggle with it, maybe past hurts, or maybe we're just nervous, but it's so worth it. And so I just want you to encourage them with the idea of community.
Well, I love how you started off asking about going back to the basics and why God thinks it's important. Mm-hmm. So first off, just remember those things.
Yeah.
He models it. He specifically said it's not good for us to be alone. And the Bible directs us to be in community. I think that is helpful mm-hmm. for starters. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, say yes when you're invited, even if it feels awkward.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to go. And, you know, they might not have conversation cards there, but you can go with questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have some just in the back of your head that you are prepared to ask people mm-hmm. that you're meeting for the first time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're not being invited, that's okay. There are times when I'm not being invited. So step out, be the inviter. Mm-hmm. Community, like a lot of things in our lives, has different seasons.
Yeah.
So my community right now doesn't look like it did a few years ago.
That's right.
And just remember that. Keep looking for it. Keep asking God to help guide you.
Yeah.
Because we know that we're not made to do life on our own. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're called to cultivate community. We want to create these meaningful connections, and we have the power to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Johanna. It's so good. And I really hope that my listeners feel very encouraged. I know that they will be, actually, to just keep pursuing community, even through some of those kind of desert seasons. There's some concluding questions that we have for my guests that we like to bring up because we are a faith school. There's some kind of school kind of questions that we like. So first off is just, what are some resources that you would recommend to us about community?
We talked about the conversation cards. I would encourage you to grab those. They are fun to use with your current community, with new people. I mentioned the book, The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. And this is not a Christian book by any means, but it really gives you some insight on the dynamics of groups, the things that I mentioned about including people or not inviting them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend that.
Yeah.
Then I also have a workshop called The Gathering Project, and it is a 5-day experience to plan, prep, and gather with your girlfriends. Mm-hmm. So if you do have any hesitations, I walk you through in 5 days. You can, it's self-guided. You can do it in, you know, whatever time works for you. Mm-hmm. And it is 15 minutes, maybe a day mm-hmm. to plan your gathering from start to finish. And I guide you in the process. You know, if you do have reservations about it for whatever reason, mm-hmm. if you just need some fresh ideas mm-hmm. on how or why to gather, highly recommend that. We are not doing another live round until early next year, okay. but you could get on the wait list if you're interested to be part of that for next time.
Yeah. Awesome. And that workshop, you said that there is a self-guided version though, that they can, is that in your shop?
It is in my shop.
Okay.
It is, I won't be having it again until early next year.
Okay. All right. What is a spiritual practice or discipline that has been really life-giving to you right now?
Well, you and I have talked about this before. We love the Bible recap. Do your listeners yeah. already know that you do this?
I have mentioned it a few times. Yeah. So good.
Yes. Yeah, so I can't get to it every day, but every day that I can, I read what has been listed out in the chronological reading plan. Then I listen to the recap, and Terlee Cobble beautifully explains what's going on. And she gives insight into things about God and his character that has been so, so meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. The other thing that has been super life-giving is just getting outside. Yeah. Our fall has been beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel like a run or a walk, it's just been such a really good way to connect with God in this season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Both of those are so good. We've actually had Terlee on the show to talk about the recap and the book version that goes along with it, because the recap is a podcast and a book. So if people are interested in more of that, they should go listen to that episode because it was really, really good. And we might be replaying it for our Back to Basics series. So yeah, no, that is such a valuable, valuable resource. And it's been honestly life-changing for me this year to participate in it and listen to it. All right. If you could assign one piece of homework to my listeners, what would it be?
Host a gathering. Get some friends together. And if that feels like too big of an assignment, I would say commit to getting together with one friend.
Yeah.
You know, get it on the calendar and make it happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You will be so glad that you did it once you've done it.
All right. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us, Johanna?
I just want to remind you that we're not meant to do life on our own, that your presence is needed in the community.
Yeah.
And that these lasting friendships and these meaningful connections that I'm encouraging you to build, they're going to glorify the kingdom. Like that's the point.
Mm-hmm. Amen. No, that's so, so true. And we're going to end off there because I think that's just absolute gold. Thank you so much for coming on here, for giving us your time. And this is such an important topic to me. Yeah, I'm just so grateful for someone like you who speaks about this in such a real way. So thank you so much, Johanna.
It has been my pleasure, Leah. I love chatting with you. I love talking about this topic, and I would be happy to encourage anyone in any way if they wanted to reach out on how to get started, where to look, what to do.
Absolutely. Well, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Johanna, so much for coming on the show. You guys, she really is just such a beautiful soul, and I love her heart for gathering and community. Please go follow her. Go follow her and listen to her show, Girls Talking Life, where you may even hear a familiar voice there over on episode number 72. Next episode, we are talking to Naomi Holland, founder of Redeemed with Purpose, which is a jewelry company that donates their profit to IGM Canada to help end human trafficking. And she's going to talk to us about the Back to Basics concept of justice. And Naomi really talks a lot about the realities of sexual slavery, why justice work matters, and how we can start within the season of life that we are currently in. I think you're really going to enjoy that episode. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at faithschoolpod on Instagram, or you can join our Facebook group, Faith School. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.